You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks and Zach Bechtold. We hope you enjoy this week's show, and you can find out more about us by going online at beardedtheologians.com, where you can pick up a few t-shirts, listen to a few old episodes, and find ways that you can connect with us. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. So Zach, do what you do with it.
Yeah, certainly. So from Acts, like Matt said, Acts 10, 44 through 38, it's kind of in the middle of a whole chapter and story here. But yeah, it's Peter. And you'll hear. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. So Matt, as you hear that story, kind of mid Acts, what comes to mind?
I'm intrigued at like how the Holy Spirit works on this. Is that, you know, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who had heard the word. You know, that's something we all wish for on Sunday morning when we're preaching. As we're preaching, that the Holy Spirit comes in and just fills people's hearts. But it's interesting that, like, the acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit doesn't just land on certain groups, to me, is what speaks to me in this. That there was this commonality of understanding of language and all that stuff, which I always find it fascinating. Like, I've never been truly in a room where that happened. I've been in a room with multiple languages, but never in a room where, like, you could feel like a commonality of languages being, like, we understood each other as things were being said. However, I have definitely been in rooms where one of the nice things that I had in my last two appointments was being connected to Cherokee Nation pastors that would come together quarterly to pray for the chief, but then also to share language, like to keep our language alive and to sing the hymns. And I always loved singing the hymns because even though I don't speak language very well, like I know like three words of Cherokee, I felt like something in my bones was speaking as we were singing those hymns. And so that's what I kind of imagined how this feeling would feel, is that this commonality, this connection that we all have together with the Holy Spirit is one that shapes and changes us. And so they have this experience. I mean, it's an amazing experience. And so it's shared in this reading today.
Certainly. I think two things stick out for me. One, we're nine chapters away from Peter and the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit the first time. You know, the day we celebrate Pentecost, we're a good ways away from that. A good bit has happened, and yet we see Peter still out doing the good work, still preaching and teaching, and the Holy Spirit showing up. I find that really interesting that there's still mention of when people go out, so does the Spirit. And kind of like you touched on, the real big point here is the Holy Spirit settles upon everyone, Jew and Gentile both. And the Jewish folks in the room are, I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised, because when you keep reading on into chapter 11, they're a little grumpy about it. But they're surprised that God would recognize the Gentiles. You still see the cultural divide between Jew and Gentile and how they're working through that. And Peter just simply says, They've received the Holy Spirit. Why should we deny them baptism? Why shouldn't we baptize them with water, and invite them into relationship with Jesus? I love that. I mean, we see it with Jesus all throughout the Gospels, right? Inviting the Gentiles in, that God's love and grace is for all people, and we see that continuation through the Book of Acts and in really through the New Testament, but we see it specifically here. And really the tension that holds between that as the understanding of who and what the Holy Spirit is and what it's doing and how that brings people into relationship with God, even the most unexpected people. And for the Jews that are surrounding Peter in this time, it's the Gentiles, it's the others, for them, and that in this context. And so I don't know, that really grabs my attention pretty well, of the surprise of the people of really them, they're going to get it too. What do we do with that?
Well, and I think that that's something we struggle with in the church today. Is that, and did you ask yesterday or a couple of days ago? I saw on Facebook that you asked about the Holy Spirit. Was that
I
you?
did. Yeah, we're doing a whole sermon series right now where I'm going to ask, where do you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life ad nauseum? My promise to my church is that they're going to get really tired and annoyed of me asking the question. But it's such an important question for us to look at, whether I had a conversation with a Bible study yesterday, and we were talking about it, and I was like, sometimes that question is a right now question. Like, let's pause right now and see where we see the Holy Spirit at work. And sometimes it's a 2 weeks ago question where we ask it now, but we look back and take a minute just to pause and go, it was really hard to see God in those moments, but now I see. Now I see where the movement of the Spirit was, and how I missed it, or how I responded to it, or somewhere in between.
Well, it's definitely being aware of the prevenient grace that's there for us.
100%.
And I think, when I had this Methodist class going, and one of the two things that came out of that for me were I need to emphasize our Wesleyan understanding of grace a little bit better, and talking about recognizing those times where God was before us, before we recognize it, recognizing those times where we've made that decision, and then recognizing the time that we've agreed to live a sanctified life. But I also think the other thing that came out of that too, and this is where like I literally shifted my whole sermon series, was looking at the generals of the Methodist Church, or as Reuben Jobe so nicely coined them, the three simple rules. And I have found myself asking myself this, it was really kind of similar to what Peter was dealing with here. It's like, who are we to say who's in and who's out, or who can receive the Holy Spirit and who can't? Like, we don't have. I don't know where that authority for us lies. And so then the question is, what do we do when we receive that Holy Spirit? Like, how do we respond? Obviously, Peter is more concerned about baptism, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then, like, it was kind of like everybody's happy. And then Peter gets to stay for a couple of days because everybody's happy. there's not the, and Peter pissed everybody off and he left at the darkness of night, and so I think, I like your question, like where have you seen the Holy Spirit today? Like, I think that that's a great thing to wrestle with. Great. I don't think we talk about it enough. I definitely think it, for me, it's a good place to lay. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be my church's focus for the next 4 weeks leading into Pentecost, is where do we see the Holy Spirit at work before we celebrate the promise of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we talk about the Holy Ghost enough in the Methodist Church. It seems like we talk about it at Pentecost and then we move on, but it's because it's out there, right? None of us have a great understanding of what the Holy Spirit is. And you can get really deep into the woods on what is it? What does it make you do? How does it move you? And we talked a little bit about that on Sunday, is the varied understandings of the movement of the Spirit throughout history, throughout Scripture, and all the way to John Wesley, and talked about how John and Charles, late in life began to understand the Holy Spirit in a different way. That very much, moves you to action, moves you to do, to physically share God's love in this world in a variety of ways. And then both John and Charles have their experiences, John being strangely warmed, and Charles being ill in his bed, and having the flutters of the heart and proclaiming, I believe, right? Like those are a wide variety of how the Spirit moves. And I think it's very much a both and for us of, are we aware of the Holy Spirit warming us from within, or making our heart flutter? And then are we moving on that action to go and follow the Spirit into the world, and join the Holy Spirit in the work that's going on? I don't know. I talked a whole lot this week about, we'd spend a lot of time in words inviting the Holy Spirit into our life, when the Holy Spirit, I think, is looking at its watch going, I've been here all along waiting on you. I've been waiting for you to show up. And so I don't know.
Well,
There's a lot there.
I know you wouldn't read this book because it does have pictures.
Sure.
The Holy Spirit, written by Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon, is an amazing book. And I used that a couple of years ago for a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. It's definitely a good book. And I know you wouldn't read it because it comes out of Duke, but
Yeah,
and there's
smarter
no
than I am.
pictures. Actually, there is a picture, but we won't get,
Can I get the
it's a
graphic
picture of the
novel
Holy Spirit.
version of it?
Sure, we'll get the Wesley Brothers on that as soon as possible. So yeah, I definitely think being aware of the Holy Spirit actions are key. So Zach, with that in mind, where have you seen the Holy Spirit in your life?
In a whole lot of places, in surprisingly enough, in the light of General Conference, and the work that our folks have done over the last 10 days and what will be 2 weeks, as this comes out, in removing and changing some language, and showing that United Methodists moving forward into the future are fully inclusive and welcoming to all people. I mean, that's a big one. In those regards, the way that my church has responded, the dozen or so people that I spoke just encountered yesterday in the church building, that I would have bet 10 bucks they weren't following along with General Conference and paying too much attention to it. All in a roundabout way, just expressed, it's about time. It's about time. We got work to do, and let's keep moving forward in the light of the decisions that have been made. And so, I never know what to expect from people. I always default on folks are going to be loving and welcoming, and it was just cool to see, one, people paying attention, hearing and seeing what their church is doing, and that means a lot to them, no matter what stage of life that they're in. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely sensing the feel of the Spirit from General Conference, which is for you, and I know for both of us is really weird, given our connection to some things that are connected to General Conference, and to talking with people who are there saying that there is a sweet spirit in the place, it's like, I don't want to feel like that feels like. Like someone asked if I had FOMO, and I said, yeah, in a way I do.
A little bit now.
Yeah, I definitely would love to have been there for some things, for sure. But I also know that I'm definitely where I need to be. But I think for me, it's not just shifting to being more actually, not just shifting. It's always been there. Actually putting it into practice to me is a great thing. And I also know too that it alleviates some suffering that has happened for, over 50 years. The other for me is really just seeing how people are in my congregation are being led by the Spirit to do things, and I really it's been that's a life giving for me because it affirms what I'm doing, and when you can actually see that It does make a difference, and it motivates us to go further and deeper. And so it's definitely been the Holy Spirit definitely has been working here at Castle Rock.
No, I love that. And the movement of the spirit, I just, it's fun and uncomfortable and everything in between. And so I love one, I love that question. We ask it, we've been asking it in different ways for a while now, but it's cool just to sit back and pay attention to see where that movement is and where the spirit keeps calling us out into this world to keep doing the good work.
I also think it's funny that like two hymns that keep popping up in my head as we talk about this is that there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And then Sweet Hour of Prayer, I don't know why. I think it's probably because we sang it last Sunday, but that's been in my head too. And so, yeah, we want to thank our listeners for listening. You can go on our website, and we've got some amazing content over the last 8 years. And we definitely would love for you to listen. Check us out, share, like us. You know, buy a couple items. It's we're in that mother's, grandparents, Father's Day season, and new appointment season for some. Nothing says welcome to our church by buying the Bearded Theologians gear. But we definitely want to encourage you to connect with us and like us and share us however you can. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
I want you to subscribe and like this video. And push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.